Hi, I'm Evelyn Culnane, Manager of Transition to Adult Care at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne, Australia. I'm joined by co-authors and expert colleagues, Associate Professor Daryl Efron and Dr. Chidambaram Prakash. Fearless Tearless Transition was a collaboration with several medical teams at the RCH and with our partners in the community, including primary care. We're grateful for the insights shared by parents and carers of young adults with an intellectual disability and or autism spectrum disorder with coexisting mental health conditions. This, along with the perspectives of paediatricians, GPs and policymakers, helped to inform our work. Concerns included 1, the variation in transition planning and management. 2, the inherent and perceived differences between paediatric and adult models of care and how this can contribute to high levels of anxiety for families. 3, systemic disconnection between health and disability and the lack of communication within and across services. 4, the availability of services to transfer to and their expertise to manage people with dual disabilities. The Fearless Tearless Transition model was therefore created. This model includes 3 key checkpoints. At age 13 or 14, initial discussions with the young person and family to determine needs and to establish a connection with a regular and trusted GP. At age 15, clinical assessments are repeated and formalised transition planning occurs with a dedicated transition lead who assists in establishing links to community services. Shared care commences between the paediatrician and the nominated GP at this stage. At age 18, clinical assessments are repeated and final checks are carried out to ensure that necessary supports are in place for the young person moving into adulthood.
Hello, I'm Daryl Efron, paediatrician at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. I have the privilege of caring for many patients with developmental disabilities. I've been working with colleagues from complementary disciplines to develop the transition model described in this paper. We did this work because we knew that we don't always serve this patient group as well as we'd like to when preparing them for the transition to adult healthcare services. Leaving the cocoon of paediatric care can be quite confronting and often frightening for families of kids who've been with us all their lives. Parents know that the adult healthcare system is different, often a little harsher, and with no equivalent of the general paediatrician to provide medical case management. In this paper, we found that the transition of adolescents with dual disabilities requires a collaborative approach involving practitioners in both the health and disability sectors. Elements of the model that carers reported were most helpful included early preparation, centralised care coordination, support with navigating services, and shared care with GPs through adolescence. At our hospital, we've been applying this model for a few years now. We lead families into thinking about transition from the time the patient's about 13 or 14 years old, and we encourage alternating appointments between the paediatrician and GP for a couple of years before we cut the umbilical cord. I think this process gives families more confidence that they'll be able to have their child's healthcare needs met satisfactorily into adulthood. From the paediatrician's perspective, the model means that rather than a sudden discharge when the patient turns 18, we walk alongside the family in a process over some years to usher them gently into the adult world.
Hi, I'm Chidambaram Prakash. I'm the child and adolescent psychiatrist who was part of this project. My role was to establish a method of systematizing the assessment and the quantification of mental health symptoms, the burden of care in the parents and carers, and the impact of the care on the parents and carers, and then to determine the level of ongoing clinical input required post-transition to adult care. We achieved this through the use of the HONOS LD, which was helpful as an estimate of the numbers and types of mental health symptoms, but also the severity of the mental health symptoms that required ongoing clinical input. We used the Autism Parent Stress Index and the modified supervision scale, which allowed us to estimate the burden of care and the level of supervision that the patients would need ongoing. This model of care has the potential to improve transition and long-term outcomes for people with dual disabilities and their families. The delivery of this model at the Royal Children's Hospital Melbourne has been made possible through the collaborative engagement and support of clinicians, GPs, and many others. Greater investment is needed for the care of people with dual disabilities from the health, mental health sectors, and also from the community at large. Thank you.